This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, you knew it was going to happen, right? You just got the feeling that somewhere along the line in the month of August, you were going to get one of those, all right, this is ridiculous. What are we all doing? Why are we playing these stupid football games, right? Oh, look no further than the Carolina-New England game last night, because guess who got a foot injury? That's right, Cam Newton. He's coming back from a shoulder injury, and they messed around and got lost. Cam Newton suffered a foot injury, was in a boot at the end of the game. And how did he get it? Because he was scrambling and he got sacked. In fact, Cam Newton got sacked twice. The conventional thought process on these preseason games is this, and I know many of you know this, but it bears repeating. You play a little bit of your starters, if at all, in the first game. You play them a little bit more, maybe not as much, in the second game. But the third game is the dress rehearsal. And then the fourth game, you don't play them at all, unless you really feel like you need a little bit more fine-tuning. That's basically how it works. Now, every coach is different, but for the standard is pretty much that the third game is the dress rehearsal. Why is it the dress rehearsal? Why is there even need to be a dress rehearsal? Sean McVay didn't play anybody last year, and that worked out fine for them. It's getting to a point now where I don't want my team to play any starters at all in these preseasons. It's just not worth it. Whatever Cam Newton got out of going 4 for 6 for 30 yards, it just doesn't even come close to the terror that must have been with the Carolina Panthers fans when he had to hobble off the field and came out in a boot. And now they're talking about we need to know the severity of the injury. Aaron Rodgers didn't play last night in Winnipeg because the field conditions were weird because of the goalposts. We'll get to that later. But Carson Wentz didn't play for the Eagles last night. Drew Brees is supposed to see very limited playing action on Saturday. I don't even know why Sean Payton would even bother. It's crazy. Even Derek Carr, he didn't even play for the Raiders last night. And John Gruden said that the Winnipeg field was fine. What are we doing? We're going to examine this some more. And I know it's going to keep coming up every single year because nobody wants to do anything about these games. But if the third game is now not a dress rehearsal, and now coaches are saying none of this is important at all in terms of preparing for the regular season, then what are we doing here? Because Cam Newton shouldn't be in a boot at all.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, here on a Friday, heading into the college football weekend. That's right, college football weekend. Florida,
real
Miami.
Football.
Can't wait for Saturday night to see the Gators and the Hurricanes in Orlando. Heck, I might even stay up later for Arizona, Hawaii. How about that?
Oh, now you're just talking.
Now I'm teasing. But I will tell you this, I ain't watching any more preseason games. I'm done with this.
Yeah, I tried to yesterday.
I can't.
I really, really tried. I caught myself scrolling through the channels last night, landed upon Dolphins Jaguars. I was just bored to tears.
It's not good football. It's not good football. Now, let me make this clear. I do not hit me up on Twitter. What is that? Don't at me.
Don't at me.
I understand why we have 4 preseason games. Don't at me. And don't go down the road of, Tony, it's all about money. They only care about money. I know. But wouldn't it be nice if the caretakers of a product actually cared enough about the product to say, hey, guys, we got to do something here, right? And we've seen the NFL do this a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit. And I've covered a lot of games. I've been to over 100 games, you know, as a member of the press in my career. I know the NFL wants to extrapolate every single dollar it possibly can from the paying public and the community at large. They don't like paying for their own stadiums, right? They don't, right? They charge a boatload for parking. You know, they fleece cities for all sorts of tax write deals and all of that. They love to extrapolate as much money as they can. But every now and then they do a good thing, right? We talked to Seth Harp earlier this week about Jacksonville. The game in London allows them to keep tickets cheap in Jacksonville. They don't have a real strong fan base, but the fan base that does go doesn't go for the hundreds of dollars that you see in other cities, right? Arthur Blank realized he didn't have to charge $7 for a bottle of water and $14 for a chicken sandwich. He realized he can give affordable prices at the games. Every now and then, and it's not a lot, but every now and then, they do some good things where they really want to care about the product and how it's delivered. These preseason games are a joke. Their product is terrible. Their product is awful. It's absolutely ridiculous. If I'm Roger Goodell, I have to figure out something on what to do here. Because, again, if you go by what I was saying at the top of the hour, right, if you go by the model that is supposed to be what the preseason is, right, starters play a little, starters play a little bit more, starters play a lot, starters don't play at all, right? If you go through that model of the four games, then the average fan can go, okay, I get it, I understand, they're not, you know, I understand what this is. Everyone's getting their feet wet. Everyone's getting a little bit of rust out from the offseason. It, you know, grow into the role. But the third preseason game, I'm really going to get to see my team a little more, see how they're looking. Maybe there's a new coach. Maybe there's a new offensive coordinator. Maybe there's some new players. I'll get a little bit of a little taste of what the regular season can bring. That's been thrown out the window. None of these coaches want to play these guys long at all. Right, even in the third preseason game that we had last night, and I guarantee you that's going to be the case throughout this weekend when these things are wrapped up. These teams want to play these guys very, very little. It doesn't even matter. Think about the Packers. Now, I know the Packers were complaining about the field last night in Winnipeg because the goalposts were moved and the hole that was in the ground wasn't really safe, so they held out all their starters. But Aaron Rodgers is not going to play in the fourth preseason game either, and that means he hasn't played at all in this preseason. That means he's had no game reps at all in Matt LaFleur's new system. And does it matter? Does he care? Probably not. Probably not. Nick Foles played, what, a quarter last night for the Jags? A quarter. That's the only preseason action he has seen with his new team.
And the only preseason action he's going to see.
Exactly. That's it. He's done. That's it.
I'd be surprised if he gets a series in next weekend.
Derek Carr has not worked out with Antonio Brown in any game setting. I'm sure they're not sweating over that or losing sleep over that. Right? I mean, and last night was a perfect example of why the powers that be in this league have to start going, look, we understand there's going to be a loss of revenue. We'll figure out something else, but we have got to find a way to make this preseason something better for the fans. Again, I'm on the record saying if coaches need six games, have six games, don't charge full price for them. But it's now very clear that there are no coaches in this league that feels like they need six or seven or four games of preseason action. Because apparently coaches don't think they need any. Because, again, they're not playing guys at all. And Cam Newton shouldn't have been out there last night. And it's the third preseason game, and he's supposed to be out there, according to conventional wisdom. And now everybody in Charlotte and all of the Carolinas that root for the Panthers are now sweating the news about Newton's foot. Is this going to be a nagging injury? Is it going to heal properly? Is it bad at all? Maybe it's not bad. Maybe it is bad. Who knows? But can you – I mean – we talked about this last week. Losing your starting quarterback for a second because of a preseason game would make me break down mentally. I'd lose my mind. Ben Roethlisberger is going to play here in Nashville on Sunday night, and they're talking about, oh, he's going to probably play a half. And I'm screaming, why would you do this? Stop. We don't like it. We are now seeing more and more coaches don't like it. Look, if we as fans, and we've been complaining about preseason games for over a generation, if not more, but now you're starting to see the younger coaches and coaching in general start saying, no, none of this matters. None of this is important. Right? Not even the third sacred third dress rehearsal game matters. Right? I mean, it's just, if it doesn't matter, then what are we doing? What are we doing? You're playing these games. Is it supposed to be for my entertainment? Okay. All right, but I'm not entertained. Nobody is. What's it for? If it's for the backups and people to make a team, you can't figure that out in practice. You can't figure that out in all the workouts and all the drills and all the OTAs that you're doing. You have to figure it out in a game against other backups? That's how we're determining this? How about it? You know, do more joint practices, even though I don't like them. But I feel bad for the Carolina Panther fans. I feel bad for them. Because if this injury is bad, and maybe it is, maybe it isn't, we could get word any minute on what exactly it is. If it's a bad injury, this didn't happen when it's supposed to happen. It didn't happen in week 1, 2, 3. Well, you can accept it. It happened in a preseason game, and it only happened because, again, the conventional wisdom is he's supposed to be out there in the third one. He's supposed to play more in the third one. It's funny, too, in reading the article, they said he hobbled to the locker room and was ruled out immediately. You don't even have to tell us that. We know he's ruled out immediately. Like Ron Rivera is going to shove him back into the game.
Even if it was just a Charlie horse, he's right? Ruled out immediately.
All you have to do as a starter, a major starter, is say you have a hangnail and you won't see the field again. Are you kidding? These guys are petrified. And listen, go back to the Winnipeg game last night. We'll talk about this a little bit more. Go back to the Winnipeg game last night. John Gruden said, the field was fine. Ask Green Bay what the problem was. The field looked fine to me. Fine to us. Well, you didn't start Derek Carr. You didn't play any of your starters either. Green Bay sat out 33 of their starters last night. 33 potential starters, I should say. Because of the field conditions. Just because of that one hole. That was in where they moved the goalpost back to the back end of the end zone. And then that hole had been glued on. There was turf that had been glued on top of the hole, but then it needed re-gluing, and the Packers didn't like that. And so they said, no, all of these guys that are either A, on number one on the depth chart, but have a chance to be number one on the depth chart, none of them played. So they sat 33 guys last night just because of these two little holes, right? Now, Gruden said the field was fine, but he sat out his guys too. He didn't put any of his guys out there.
And are we mad at them for doing that?
No, not at all. Not at all. Absolutely not. In fact, it's the wise thing to do. So again, I understand it's a revenue thing. So again, you don't have to come at me and say it's money, money, money. I know it's money. Again, I've seen this league try to suck every dollar out of your pocket that they can. So I understand why they're doing this, and I understand that they will never, ever cut this preseason short without anything on the back end, because there is significant revenue from it. Like I've said many, many times, they charge you full price for these games when you buy your season tickets. If you buy your season tickets just to round it up at 100 bucks a ticket, you're paying $1,000 for 10 rather than $800 for 8 and maybe $50 for the other two. No, you pay full price for all 10 of the home games, and that includes the 2 in the preseason and then the 8 during the regular season. Right? So I completely understand why they will not ever, ever cut this short. But you are seeing, and this is very important, you are seeing a dramatic shift in how these coaches are looking at these games. And I think you can look at Sean McVay last year, who had a good football team. Look, remember, the Rams were a playoff team the year before, but we didn't realize they were a Super Bowl juggernaut until the regular season started rolling. We realized, man, this team's pretty good. This is a really, really good football team. They were good. Don't get me wrong. They were a really good team, but they were very healthy going into the regular season because he didn't play anybody at all in the four preseason games last year. And now you're going to start seeing coaches do that. And if they are going to do that, then Roger Goodell has a product problem. Whether he cares or not, he probably doesn't. The owners probably don't. But wouldn't it be nice if they did? Wouldn't it be nice if they said, you know what? This product stinks. And we are better than this. We are better than giving the public this garbage. Because right now it's garbage. You're right. It's hard to watch. I don't even know why I'm watching. I don't know what I'm watching. Right? I mean, I don't care about Jared Stidham playing for the Patriots because he's not going to play for the Patriots. Right? I mean, I don't care about Will Greer throwing passes for Carolina or our boy Nathan Peterman tossing 2 touchdowns for the Raiders. Although that was pleasant and a nice surprise that he was able to do that. But Cam Newton being in a boot, that's too far. That's too much. That's crazy. I mean, absolutely crazy. For a team that's trying to be competitive in the division, and he got injured being sacked on a scrambling play in a preseason game.
And that surprises me. Didn't they learn anything by watching the Falcons last week?
I know, right? 3 sacks for Matt Ryan last week, and we said it. Stop doing this, people. Yep. One is enough. That was the second sack of the game. He had been sacked twice. That was his second sack.
Yep, too many.
Too many. God, it's nuts. All right, we'll get to the Winnipeg fiasco last night. Don't call it a fiasco. They actually played the game, but how did they do it if they shortened the field? We'll talk about that next on SB Nation Radio.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Okay, so Ron and I have been doing this show now for a little over a year. July of 2018. In that time, and we've done one full football season and 3 weeks of preseason since we've done this morning show. This is now the third time, Ron, the third time the NFL has had field problems. The third time. Now, the fourth time in the last, 3 years, if you want to count the Hall of Fame game. But as long as we've been on the air, this is 3 times we've talked about field conditions being a problem. We had the Mexico City fiasco where they had to move the game because the field conditions were terrible. Then we had the Dayton incident, and that's a slight one because people said the field was actually fine, but there were Cincinnati Bengals players who said, no, it actually wasn't. It wasn't fine. Where A.J. Green got hurt and blamed the field conditions that they were trying to practice at one of the original NFL fields to celebrate its 100th birthday. And now we have this in Winnipeg, which forced the game to be shortened by 20 yards because the field now was an 80-yard field instead of a 100-yard field. Okay. Now, the situation in Winnipeg was simply this. In the CFL, your goalposts are at the front of the goal line like they used to be way, way back in the day when you watch those old NFL films. And, of course, we now know the NFL, you want them in the back. So they moved them in the back. And then the hole that the goalposts go into, that had to be covered up by some turf. So they glued it down, and then it needed re-gluing. But it wasn't good enough for the Packers. The Packers felt like that was going to be a problem, so they sat out a lot of their starters. John Gruden said it wasn't a problem for him, but just to be on the safe side, they shortened the field. So they made the 10-yard line the end zone, and that's basically where it was. They spent $40,000 to move the goalposts, all for naught. So they shortened the field less. So they didn't have any kickoffs last night.
Wait, 40?
Yeah, $40,000 reported that they spent $40,000 to move the goalposts.
Pay me half that. I'd have been able to move it for you.
Right.
I mean, how hard is that? You just dig a hole.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be that difficult. It's like, what are we doing with that? $40,000?
$40,000. That's why we have 4 preseason games, just to pay for field goals being moved.
So, well, maybe maybe the labor in Canada is very expensive.
Apparently. In order to get that done. My Lord. That's how they get the free medical and free schooling.
So my question is this. Why doesn't the NFL put even more due diligence to make sure these fields are massively acceptable?
Not important.
Apparently not.
No one cares about the field.
Let's go play in Winnipeg. Okay, well, yeah. We got some dimension problems. We'll figure it out when we get up there.
You know, why not for one game have the NFL just play on a Canadian football field?
Right. Yeah, do they use the metric system up there?
Probably.
For the field? Or do they just go, we don't like yards for anything, but we'll use yards for this?
Well, I just would like to see the extended touchdown and see what the NFL can actually do with that.
Yeah, that's true.
Whether it's like 20 yards long.
Yeah.
How much fun would that be?
Yeah, that's great. That's a good idea. They should have done that. They should have played Canadian football. That would have been a good idea.
See, again, maybe we're in the wrong business.
Yeah. I mean, look, I didn't see the game last night, but from what I've been reading about it, it was okay. It was kind of neat. It was interesting. 40-yard field, whatever. I mean, 80-yard field, I should say, whatever. No kickoffs. They started the ball at the 25-yard line. But it, to me, then you now have a game where how much do the coaches get out of that? Well, I mean, if you're John Gruden and Matt LaFleur, isn't it just like, all right, let's just get this done with and let's get out of here? Apparently, that's what the Green Bay Packers felt like. No playing, didn't play anybody significant. Raiders really didn't either. So if it's just a show, you know, just to show up to Winnipeg to expand the brand, I guess they did their job. But this is like you're trying to take this game and you're trying to give it to people who don't normally have the game, right? That's the purpose with the two games that have been really highlighted in the field fiasco. The Bengals in Dayton, that was more of a training camp practice issue. The Hall of Fame game was in Canton. They always have it in Canton. It just that year, field conditions were not that good, but they got it worked out because they're always going to have that game there. But the other two times, you're trying to expand the NFL brand. You're taking it to Mexico City. You played games there before, but you're sending a very big game down there. And then this game in Winnipeg, you're trying to give the people in Winnipeg a nice game in Canada. Be cool, right? Here, let's bring the NFL there. They do it. The Bills sometimes play a game in Toronto. But you got to make sure that the field is absolutely perfect, the way you want it. We talked about this with the last year with the Mexico City game. What was the cause of the field? It was a soccer game, right?
No, now, it was Shakira.
Shakira. Okay, that's right. I'm sorry. I should have known
Shakira
that.
Shakira bouncing all over that field.
And you would think that the NFL would have said, look, I'm sorry, but we need to own that stadium and own that field for whatever long it, you know, you feel like you need
yep.
to make sure it's preserved, right? You need to say, look, I know you make money on concerts, on soccer matches, on all these other things, but if you want this game, and we'd be more than happy to give you this game, we'll be more than happy to allow you to the right to have this product, sell tickets, make yourself some money, but in return, for 3 weeks before the game, we need it, and we need our field technicians there at all times. We need them to have access. We need them to do whatever the heck they want to do because we owe it to our players through collective bargaining and because of our product to make sure that the field is always will be acceptable. Right? And I didn't get it why they just didn't say, look, that's what we're going to be doing. And in Winnipeg, it feels weird to me that they're like looking at the hole going, oh, it needs to be minutes before the game, an hour before the game. They're like, yeah, this isn't going to work. That should have been taken care of a while ago. That should have been known of how that was going to go down a while ago. Now, again, they made the most of it, and nobody seemed to complain, except the Packers complained in a sense of not playing their starters. John Gruden didn't play his starters, but said the field was fine. So it wasn't like the whole field was a disaster. It was just this one area that they didn't want their players to run through.
Can't they just put a cone above it?
Yeah, right? Just... Like put caution wet, you know, wet field or yeah, something well, like just, hey, you know, if what, you're going to run through here, be careful.
What they do like with the youth sports, there's a yeah. bad area of the field. It's like, well, here, we're going to put a couple cones around it. Stay away from this area in particular.
Right.
You can do
or
that.
Spray it, like take a paint and spray the whole area and go like that. You don't want to run through.
Yeah.
Just like whatever play you're running, make sure it doesn't include running through this.
Maybe just set up a little, you know, little triangle of caution tape.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. But I don't know, it just feels like every if your game is going to a foreign country other than London, then London seems to be fine.
Yeah, they seem to understand that.
They seem to get it.
They must want our product. Right. That's the only conclusion I can come to because they make sure their fields are immaculate.
But they're talking about like a game in Shanghai at some point like
oh,
yeah,
can you imagine
luck.
That field?
Yeah, good luck. Cuz something's going to go wrong. There's going to be like a monsoon. They're going to get there and go, "Oh my god, we can't do this." Like it just seems to happen. I mean, I don't know, it wasn't all that surprising last night when they went, yeah, the field, yeah, there's a problem. I was like, of course there's a problem. You're trying to play on a Canadian football field.
And but honestly, do the Raiders have any excuse for saying that the field's a problem? They play on a baseball field.
That's right. They play with dirt. There's actually infield dirt that they have to go through.
Yeah, I'm going to miss that.
To play. I know. When they get to the new stadium, they're not going to know what to do.
They need to just have dirt there just because.
It's like a warning track for some of the players, right? Where there's certain field positions. Like I run through the dirt, then I turn when I hit grass. They get to the new fields. Like, wait. I don't know this one very well. SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Mike Jones, USA Today, kind of echoing what we were talking about this morning about these preseason games. Maybe it is time for the NFL to look into doing something else instead of just kind of playing these games that just don't really result in anything. He's got a couple of bullet points here that just say why the NFL should be looking into this. He says the bulk of the league's starting players either didn't dress at all or merely logged a dozen snaps or fewer. We're talking about the third preseason game. There was a time where starters would play a half, sometimes more than a half, in the third preseason game. I know it seems arcane now, right? But that's the way they used to do it. Field conditions at Winnipeg were so poor that 33 Green Bay Packers were held out of the game against the Raiders, and the playing field reduced to 80 yards and kickoffs were eliminated. The Raiders left 24 players home rather than take them to the same game. Former players who understand that preseason play can make or break a career are saying that the NFL needs to do something, and pro scouts are even admitting that they're gaining very little from attending preseason matchups. So what's the point? The point is revenue. So unless they can come up with another way to make the same amount of revenue, we're stuck with them. But as I said earlier, it is my hope that the league someday says, we'll find another way, but our product is bad and we need to be proud of the product, right? But it's unlikely. That's not the way usually business works. Sometimes when you don't have real competition. Right, if you have a restaurant, for example, and you can cut some corners on your penne vodka, you probably would. But if you are in a competition in the city, in the town, as an Italian restaurant, you would continue to try to use the finest ingredients. You try to find a way to give out the best product you possibly can, even if that product costs you a little bit more and your profit margin is reduced. In the NFL, there's no reason for them to do anything with the preseason at all. They don't have to, other than pride. And that's a lot to ask. Because what I'm asking for from the league, from Roger Goodell to all the owners, is to realize your product in this month stinks. Now, an owner could come back and say, well, guess what? It doesn't matter, because in a couple of weeks, you won't remember how bad this product stinks. But then my response would be, yeah, I would if I lost a player to these games, like Carolina, that could lose Cam Newton. It's been early diagnosed on Cam Newton is that it's a sprained ankle. They'll know more today when they run some tests. I have no idea what that means. Could mean it could be a slight sprain that he's back quickly. It could be a major sprain where he's going to lose a few games of the regular season. But all in all, this is something that I would be concerned about as a league, saying, wait a minute, there is no upside to this from the standpoint of my starters playing. If my coaches come to me I'm an owner and I don't know the X's and O's of the game and I'm trusting my coaching staff to talk to me and they're telling me, look, I'm not playing these guys. I don't care that the fans are upset that they're paying good money and they're seeing backups. I couldn't care less. I'm not playing these guys because I don't need to, right? The joint practices work. The overall training camp works. The OTAs work. Otherwise, or I may have enough veteran starters on this team, they don't need to do this. Then I would say, then I'm not playing them. And you wouldn't want me to play. Because the moment they get hurt, we're in trouble. If you're Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers is sacked and he twists an ankle and is out for 6 weeks, you're going to regret that. Because there was nothing Aaron Rodgers was going to learn more in a meaningless preseason game that he's not already learning in joint practices and camp and by his own intuition as a quarterback under a new system, right? Matt LaFleur is introducing a new offense. Aaron Rodgers is smart enough to get it all and figure it all out without needing to run plays against the Raiders in Winnipeg, and that's apparently what they did. He was supposed to play, but the field conditions were bad. I'm surprised he was still supposed to play. Sean Payton, who's been with Drew Brees forever. Drew Brees is going to see action Saturday at MetLife Stadium against the Jets and a pretty good pass rushing team. I have absolutely no idea why both of these guys want to do it. I completely trust that Drew Brees is going to be ready in week one. You mean to tell me the four passes that he's going to throw in the first series? Oh, well, that really made the difference. Got it down now, coach. Be good to go. looks good. I feel good. And college football doesn't have any of this. They have none of this stuff. The Gators and the Hurricanes are going to play Saturday night. Felipe Franks of the Gators better go out there and get it done. No preseason games. No need to go out there and warm up against competition at all. It's a different beast because it's a business. I get it. I totally understand. There's revenue to be had, so there's revenue to be gained. But, oh boy, it's hard. It's hard to swallow. All right, so college football starts this weekend with week zero. It's not week one. It is week zero. As I mentioned earlier, Florida and Miami, that game in Orlando. And then Arizona and Hawaii will be going on. And then on Thursday night, the official college football kicks in. We're going to have Hudson Mason, former Georgia quarterback, coming on later on in the show. College football analyst. We'll have him on every single week. I love this time of year with college football. It is different than the pros, though, isn't it? Where you can go into, we all have realistic expectations for our teams, but a lot of times some NFL teams, because again, the margin between the top team and the bottom team is really, really slim. Sometimes your team, when you go, man, if we can just get 8-8, or man, if we can just have a winning record, sometimes they surprise you and have a better season than you anticipate, and they make the playoffs and maybe make a nice run in the playoffs. Sometimes, because maybe injuries or things didn't go well, you may be anticipating an 11-win, 12-win season, and they only give you 8. But in college football, right off the bat, there are teams that are just trying to get a bowl win. There is no feeling like, oh, it's wide open, right? There isn't that feeling. It's some teams you just know. What they're looking for this year is to be as competitive as they possibly can, but in the end, get a bowl victory. They're not going to be competitive in their own division. I root for such a school, South Carolina. South Carolina has got a very tough schedule. If they can make a bowl game, that's great. That is what I'm rooting for. I'm not rooting to win the East because I'll be disappointed probably by week 3. What I am rooting for is for them to be competitive enough to go to a nice bowl game. And I don't want to say which ones are the nice bowl games and which ones aren't, because I don't want to insult the people who work really hard on the ones that I consider inferior.
Right. Well, I mean, one that's definitely not inferior is Tony the Tiger Bowl.
Yeah, Tony the Tiger Bowl, that's the Sun
Bowl,
baby.
That is going to be fantastic. No, that's not the Sun Bowl. It's Tony the Tiger Bowl.
Tony the Tiger Bowl. That's fantastic. I still love that idea of a cereal bowl with his big face on it. The Sun Bowl. Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl cereal bowl
should be an image, like a half silhouette, half him coming out of the sun.
Right, exactly.
Taking the field, carrying a helmet.
They should have their great drop every time somebody does something awesome.
Oh, if they don't, ban the Sun Bowl.
Like the guy who's doing the announcing, when he goes, and the completion, that is to Mike Jones for a first down. They're great every time, right?
You think they'll have him up in the booth?
Should have him in the booth.
Should have him in the booth.
Now, I wonder who does the voice for Tony the Tiger. Is he getting extra work now? Where they're like, hey, we got good news for you, Steve Michaels, the voice of Tony the Tiger. You now can cut all of these promos and all of these football things. And we got a lot of work for you. We got a lot of work. We need your voice on all of these things for the Sun Bowl. What a great idea. When is General Mills going to step up, man? Get it going. Start competing for these cereal mascots to run these bowl games. So Thursday, a whole slew of games, including Utah-BYU. Do you remember when Utah-BYU was the big deal in November? Remember when it was part of the big rivalry matchup? And then Utah went ahead and disappeared off to the Pac-12, and that rivalry kind of died? I mean, I'm glad it's back, but this is a deep rivalry, Utah-BYU. Getting it on August 29th feels weird. Like, that still should be a game like Florida-Florida State. They don't play in the same conference. But Utah was looking for a Pac-12 rival when they joined it. They joined it with Colorado, and they were looking for a rivalry within the conference that they could have at the end of the season, and they think they have it with Colorado. But they kind of don't. Manufactured rivalries are tough. Like, when you go out and you say, oh, you know what? We're going to start a rivalry with school A. You don't start a rivalry. Rivalries are kind of just part of the lore of a school. Maybe there's something about that rivalry that's important. It's usually state bragging rights. It's usually maybe it's state versus state, right? It doesn't have to be in state. It could be state versus state. Maybe it's something that has always been around, and your great grandfather remembers way back in the day when they played leather helmets. You didn't care what your record was, but you always had to beat Ole Miss, or you always had to beat LSU, or you always had to beat Texas A&M. That's how rivalries are. That's what makes rivalries great. Not when you take a team and another team and you go, hey, you two should play at the end of the season. We'll just call it, we'll call it the big border war. Yay. You remember when it was UCF and UConn tried to do this, where UConn tried to start a rivalry with, I think it was UCF. They even created a trophy, and the UConn coaches had like a countdown clock to the big battle with Central Florida. And nobody bought it. Nobody caught on. It was just a manufactured rivalry that nobody thought was important. But when you talk about history and you have something on the line that's very valuable, it might be an old trophy. It might be just state bragging rights. It might be whatever it is. It's something that's important. That's Utah and BYU used to have that. They used to have that, and they used to have it pretty fierce. I think it's called the Holy War between those two schools. And it was a big deal. And I'm glad they get to do it again, but beginning of the season I don't think you warm up with your rival. Colorado and Colorado State do. They play in the beginning. Now, Colorado has always contended that Colorado State's not their rival, that back in the old days it used to be Nebraska. The problem was Nebraska never felt like Colorado was their true rival. They always felt it was Oklahoma. I mean, this is going way back before conferences, switch teams and all that. But that's the way Colorado used to see it. Colorado used to say, well, Nebraska is really our rival. Nebraska went, yeah, not really. Oklahoma is our rival. And Colorado said, no, it's us. And Nebraska went, yeah, okay, whatever. But Colorado State would scream, no, you're our rival, Colorado. And Colorado would look back at them and say no. So unless it's mutual, it's hard to get by it. But Utah and BYU on Thursday, a little less than a week. That's probably the bigger game on that Thursday night. College football's in the air. All right. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's as we roll along. More on the NFL preseason. Some news and notes that are important. We'll get to that coming up. And also, has there been a movement with Ezekiel Elliott and the Dallas Cowboys? Got that for you as well on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. And this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, Ron, you said you're going to blow my mind with knowledge.
I'm going to blow your mind with some knowledge. Thurl Ravenscroft.
Thurl Ravenscroft.
Yes.
Man,
you had said in the last segment, we got to get the guy that does the voice for Tony the Tiger out there.
Yes.
His name is Thurl Ravenscroft.
All right. And now I want to know more about his Sun Bowl deal.
I mean, unfortunately, he's dead.
Oh, no.
He's been dead since 2005. He died at the age of 91. Not a bad run.
Oh, okay.
He'd be perfectly fine. But where the knowledge comes in is, like with most voice actors, you had the chance to, we had the chance to talk to Jim Cummings at one
point.
That's
right. Yep.
They do more than just one thing. So did you know the voice of Tony the Tiger also did this little number right here?
A mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Oh, no kidding!
You really are a hero.
Now, most people, like I said, reading this thing, like most people thought this was Boris Karloff singing.
Yes!
This is Thurl Ravenscroft singing.
I did not know that!
Not only that, his voice can also be heard on Pirates of the Caribbean and Haunted Mansion rides.
No kidding!
Yeah, he is...
Some of my two favorite rides.
He is the main bust in the cemetery.
Oh, really?
It's like Uncle something.
Yeah.
And he is also the voice of Fritz in the Enchanted Tiki Room.
Wow. Wow. And he was Tony the Tiger as well.
And he was Tony the Tiger.
No, seriously. I thought this was Boris Karloff singing.
Yep.
I really did.
Now we know it's Thurl Ravenscroft.
Thurl Ravenscroft. Well, man, what a career.
Yeah.
I bet he'd be proud that Tony the Tiger is sponsoring a college football bowl game. Probably wishing he could be part of it.
Oh, I'm certain he would be.
Right?
I mean, he was born in Nebraska, so you know football was in his blood.
Yeah. Tony the Tiger Bowl. So whoever's doing it now, I don't even know if they have somebody doing it now.
I don't know. Anytime I looked it up, it kept coming up to Thurl Ravenscroft.
They don't have any more. They don't have any Saturday morning cartoons, do they? Do they
not
have Saturday
really,
morning
no.
cartoons?
You know what? I mean, cartoon channels like Cartoon Network or was it Boomerang?
Right.
Kind of ruined Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah, kind of did.
My kids, I mean, they can watch cartoons anytime. And for us, during the week, we never had a chance to watch cartoons.
There used to be a TV show on in prime time that would tell you what the new cartoons were going
yes.
to be for that fall.
Yep.
Right?
That was
awesome. But that's where you got inundated with all the commercials for the cereals and the toys and the, you know, the Star Wars things and all of that. And that's where you created all these great commercials with all of these iconic cereal characters. I don't think they do that as much anymore, so I don't know if there is a new voice for Tony the Tiger at all.
There probably isn't.
But they probably should find one if they're going to now sponsor the Sun Bowl, because I'm telling you right now, throw a few drops during the game, because it's your bowl game and you can do whatever you want with it.